Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Grab your copy of God's word and go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, as a dad of five kids, and those of you who have raised kids, you know this, in the heart of almost every child is the desire to grow up and be big, right? They want to be big. One of the biggest insults that you can give my six-year-old is for one of his older brothers or sisters to call him a baby. And he's like, "I'm not a baby. I'm big," you know, because in the heart of every child, they want to grow up and they want to be big, growing from training wheels to not needing training wheels, from growing to their puddle jumper to not needing, to swimming all by themselves, not needing a life jacket at all, from growing, from needing you to dress them to, "Dad, I don't need help with my clothes today," growing from diapers to pull-ups, man. That's a really big deal, right? I mean, for Christy and me, we had 12 consecutive years of diapers. We should have bought stock in a diaper company. Hopefully, some of my mutual funds have stock in diaper companies, all right? But I can just remember, man, when that last child was potty trained, it was a party. We threw a party, for real, all right? But when I think about that desire for children to grow up and to be big, pull-ups do come to my mind. It's just amazing. My mind automatically goes back all the way to the early 1990s. You know, when Huggies first came out with pull-ups and they began to advertise for them. And isn't it amazing just when you think back in your life how commercial jingles just stick with you? Well, this is one of those jingles that really epitomizes the desire for kids to grow up and be big. It went a little something like this. Check out this video. That epitomizes what's in the heart of every child, that desire to grow. And the reason that it's in there is that God put that in you. God put the desire in you to grow. He doesn't want you to physically grow, to only physically grow. He also wants us to spiritually grow. Now, some of us would love to stop physically growing, amen? But God wants us to continually, our whole life, no matter what, continue to spiritually grow. And in today's text, we get a glimpse of some of the ways that God desires for us to grow. So here's today's task. Here's what we're going to aim to do. We're going to answer this question. What is God's vision for growth in my life? Isn't that a question that we often ask? What is God's plan for my life? Well, one of the things we see here in Ephesians chapter 4 is that God's plan is for you to grow. So what is God's vision for growth in my life? And today we're going to see some of those. It also gives us, you know, a couple of particular ways here in the text, and then it also gives us some gifts that God has given us to help us grow. So let's open up with the Word of God here, and let's see what God has to say to us from the Apostle Paul. Through the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. I want to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God, please. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in the 7th verse. The Word of God, which is inerrant, which means it's fully true. It's infallible, which means it'll never be irrelevant. It's authoritative because it's from God. Here's what it says. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. He gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. but rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Thus ends the reading of the Word of God this morning. Let's ask God to help us here. Father, we come to You and ask that Your Spirit would move and be active, God, that we would first understand Your Word this morning, and then secondly, that we would apply Your Word. Father, I don't want to miss this morning the fact that You call us to grow, but in order to grow, there's got to be a birth that happens. There's got to be life that comes in. And so, God, if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here this morning who is dead in their trespasses and sins, they've never turned and trusted Christ, I pray today would be the day that the Holy Spirit would call them and they would say yes to Jesus and would be saved and then would begin their growth in Christ. Father, we love You and we pray You would move in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. So again, in the heart of every human being is this desire to grow. Did you see it here in the text? Did you see God's vision for growth in your life? Here's the first thing we see in the text, is that God wants me to grow, to be a mature Christian, to be mature in Christ. Look at verses 13 through 16. Verses 13 through 16. God wants to equip us. He wants us to be built up and grown, He says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part's working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In other words, God wants us to grow, to be mature in Christ. And here's the deal. You and I need to understand what maturity is not. If we're going to understand what maturity is, we have to first understand what maturity is not. I appreciate author Frank Powell's thoughts on this. He said first, Christian maturity is not about your age. It's not about your age. Because I know some 18-year-olds who are absolutely spiritual giants, right? Some 18-year-olds who are absolutely spiritual giants. And I know some 58-year-olds who are spiritual babies. So Christian maturity is not about your age. It's secondly, not about your achievements. It's not about your age, and it's not about your achievements. It's like, dude, you read through the Bible 25 times? Oh, you memorized the entire book of James? Wow, you can say the books of the Bible in 12 languages, front and backwards? Oh, you have a PhD in religion? While all of that may be impressive, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're spiritually mature. So it's not about your age, it's not about your achievements, and it's not about your appearance. It's not about your appearance. Y'all know good and well that you cannot judge a book by its cover, right? You may look at someone and in your heart you say, man, they must not know Jesus. But looks can be deceiving, right? Whether a person looks mature or immature, whether they fit the outward appearance that you expect a Christian to have, that doesn't mean that they are or that they aren't. Right? That doesn't speak to their actual maturity at all, because here's the deal. Some of the most rock, solid, bold, sold out people for Jesus that I've known, they always wear t-shirts and jeans and they look scruffy. I remember this one brother that we went on a mission trip with. He was actually leading another team, and you would look at him and he looked as plain and just jeans, t-shirt, beard, all scruffy. But that dude was sold out. He was so bold for Jesus. So you can't, maturity has nothing to do with your appearance. So what is Christian maturity about? Well, our text tells us it's primarily about two things. One, first, it's about Christ's likeness. That's what maturity is about. See in the text where it says that God wants us to reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's talking about Christ's likeness there. If we're going to measure our maturity, we have to measure how much are we like Jesus. That includes holiness, that includes love and wisdom, it includes zeal and passion for God, it includes a lot of things. But we have a clear model, don't we, in Jesus Christ? You want to know what a mature Christian looks like? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. So maturity is a way of life. It's a Christ-likeness in how we live. But our text also tells us here that Christian maturity is also about knowing that you know the truth of God's word. That's part of this maturity here, that you know God's word. You and I must know what we believe and why we believe it. And here's the key. A lot of people know what they believe and why they believe it. The key, though, is that your belief must be backed up on the word of God. If you can be as strong in your belief as you want to be and know why you believe it, but if it's not founded upon the word of God, you are not a mature believer in Jesus Christ. It's got to be founded on the word of God if we're going to grow into maturity. Now, while we're babes in Christ, when we first come to Christ, we shouldn't stay babes. We must not remain children. And the text clearly says that. Why? Because children are weak. Children are vulnerable. As I was reading this text this week, I don't know why this picture came to my mind, but I just pictured in my mind arm wrestling a baby. Just picture that in your mind. I mean, there's probably a YouTube video out there doing that, okay? Just picture in your mind a grown man arm wrestling a baby. I'd take him over the top every time, wouldn't I? You would too, or as a baby. Think about this, as a baby, you pick up a baby and you take it wherever you want it to go. I mean, when I had babies that could fit, you know, in one arm, I just carried them like a football. Come on, kid, let's go, you know, like a Heisman pose here. And so they could do nothing. They're weak. They're weak. But let that baby grow up, and it's a different story. My 14-year-old used to be little compared to me. He weighed 6 pounds, 5 ounces when he was born in 2005. He was our smallest baby out of the five. Only 19 inches long, and I moved him wherever I wanted him to go. I took him wherever I wanted him to go, but he's grown up some. Actually, he's grown up a lot. He's now 6'6", 250 pounds, and we pretty much are evenly matched in physical contests. But give him a year, old dad ain't going to stand a chance. Now, don't you dare tell him I said that. Because dad knows some tricks, right? You know how it is, right? Dads always retain. They don't show the kids everything they know, all right, to keep that upper hand. But in the same way, though, God wants you to grow in the truth of his word so that you're not tossed to and fro, that you're strong, that you're founded, that you're anchored, that you're not carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Beloved, you have to understand that there are spiritually dangerous forces out there that seek to devour you. They seek to devour you. So you have to grow into maturity so that by God's grace and by God's power, those things will have no effect on you. You must be wise. You must be smart. You must be anchored. You must be mature. That's part of God's vision for your life. And if you come in this morning and you say, I don't know if I'm mature in Christ or not, then you're probably not. You need to grow. You need to grow. And we're going to talk about how to grow here in just a moment. But you need to grow. So that's part of God's vision for growth in your life. Here's the second part that our text tells us. Number two is that God wants me to grow to be active in church ministry. God wants me to grow to be active in church ministry. Look at verse 12. It's one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, okay? It says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, notice in there, who is supposed to do the work of the ministry? Y'all help me out. Who is supposed to do the work of the ministry? The answer is the saints. That's right. It's not just the pastors, it's the saints. The saints are to do the work of the ministry. But who are the saints in the Bible? And the answer is, you are. You are the saints. Every single Christian is one of the saints. Therefore, every single Christian is to be about the work of the ministry and the building up of the body of Christ. Now, we here at Eastwood, we've tried to make this crystal clear. We've tried to make this clear to every person. And so we've clearly defined our strategy for discipleship here at Eastwood. We call it our 3G strategy. You can check it out here on the screen. Our 3G strategy. We ask that you gather in worship. So right now, if this is a checkbox, you can all say, check, I'm gathering worship. This is part of your discipleship right here. But secondly, you can see the second G there on the right side there. We ask that you grow in small groups. And I know that's harder now. It's different now because we're not able to meet in person in the building on Sunday morning. But praise God, we have small groups, adult small groups that are meeting all week long. At Eastwood, literally between our campus and the other campus, there is a small group meeting every day of the week. Isn't that cool? Every day of the week. And here we have 6 at South Campus that are meeting at some point during the week. And so if you're not connected to a small group, you should be. You should be. Talk with me. I'll get you hooked up. Some of them are virtual still, meeting online through Zoom. But some at this point, about half of them are in person. Meeting in someone's home or meeting here at the church at a different time. And so we just encourage you to grow in a small group. But here's the third one there. Here's the third one, is that you go in service. That last G is what our text is pointing us to here. That you go in service. In other words, you're to be about the work of the ministry. That's what it means. Is that you're to be about the work of the ministry. Now, according to the Unstuck group, which is a church consulting group, about 45% of adults and teenagers in a church typically are engaged in ministry somewhere. About 45%. Now, that's way better than the old 80-20 rule, right? We always hear that 80-20 rule. When it comes to church, it ain't true, all right? It ain't true. Praise God. Maybe it's true in some churches, but most churches, the average church, 45% of the people are engaged at some level of work in the church. Now, I've run the stats for South Campus. I've run the stats. We have about 200 active adults here at this campus that call Eastwood their church home, Eastwood South Campus their church home. And we have about 120 active adults who are engaged somewhere in ministry through the church. That's 60%. Praise God. Praise God for that. Come on. You can praise God for that. Right? That's way better than the 45%. But think about this for a moment. I thank God for everyone that is serving. But that means, guys, think about this. If 60% are engaged in service, they are going in service, they are about the work of the ministry, that means that 40% of active adults here at South Campus are still sitting in the stands and not in the playing field. So I'm talking to you this morning. If that's you, I'm talking to 100% of you right now, okay? God has called you to be about ministry, about serving. Listen, it might not be vocational ministry like your church staff, like Pastor Will and me and Lori, but it's a call to ministry nonetheless. There are as many ministers at Eastwood as there are Christians. So we call you. We call you out of the stands into the playing field to be active in church ministry. And when you connect the context here where Paul's talking about unity in the church, remember 2 weeks ago, and again, praise God for Pastor Justin and the job that he did last week preaching God's word. I heard so many compliments, so many people encourage me about how he did, and I thank God for him. But think back 2 weeks ago where we were looking there at the first 6 verses of chapter 4 here in Ephesians. When we look there, remember this. He's talking about unity here in this text, right? So remember this. Remember that churches who have higher percentages of people who are focused on the ministry of Christ, right? They are engaged in the mission of the ministry of Christ, I believe from experience that those are the churches who enjoy more unity. You know what I'm talking about? The churches that are focused, more people are focused on the mission and the ministry of God. You ain't got time to fuss about the silly things that so often divide churches. So, beloved, again, some of you need to come out of the stands. You got to get involved. You got to get on the playing field. And I know that we're not fully up and running yet with church ministries in this current COVID season, but it's coming, right? It's coming. We pray that in the fall we can begin to add even some more things back in August when we come into phase 3 of reopening. And praise God, we hope that in September, again, we come into phase 4. We're not sure what that's going to look like yet, but just know that those are coming where we more fully open back church ministries. And we're going to be looking for 100% engagement somewhere in the work of ministry. Why? Because that's what God calls us to. That's how God wants you and me to grow. Guys, there's joy in serving the Lord as you serve others. And there's growth. God wants you to grow to be active in church ministry. And the final part here this morning of God's vision for growth in your life is this. Is that God wants me to make full use of the gifts that he's given me to help me grow. God wants me to use or to make full use of the gifts he's given me to help me grow. Now, as we saw last week or 2 weeks ago there in verses 4-6, Paul is making such a strong case. God through Paul is making such a strong case for unity and oneness in the church through Jesus Christ. But here in verse 7, Ephesians 4:7, he begins to emphasize the diversity that we have in the body within that unity. And here's what he says, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So in other words, we're all united in Christ, but we are all gifted differently. And that's a good thing, right? We all don't have the same gifts, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can go there and look at that and read that. And we praise God that he's given us different gifts. And then he loosely quotes Psalm 68:18 in verse 8. Look at verse 8, Ephesians 4:8. Therefore it says, and that's Psalm 68, verse 18, when he ascended on high, this is Jesus, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In other words, when Christ ascended, he did not leave us giftless. He gave us gifts as he went on high. And then in verse 9 and 10, Ephesians 4, 9 and 10, Paul shares with us how Christ won the right to give these gifts that you and I are to grow with. Look there. In saying he ascended, it says, verse 9, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. In other words, what he's saying here is that Christ, through his ministry, where he came, took on flesh, dwelt among us, lived the life we couldn't live, died the death we deserve on the cross, and then rose again from the dead. When he ascended back to the Father, he had won the right to gift us with whatever he wanted to gift us with. That's what he's saying there. He's earned the right to give us gifts. And what are the gifts here in our text that Christ gave us? Look at verse 11 and 12. He tells us straight out. There's no doubt what the gifts are. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So right there, beloved, are the gifts that God has given us to help us grow. Now, don't miss that. They're gifts to help us grow. And there are lots of many individual gifts here. You think back throughout your life, the pastors that you've had, the evangelists that you've sat under, all of the apostles and prophets that you have here in the Word of God. Lots of many individual gifts, but there are only four types or four categories here of these gifts. Again, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers. Now, it's important to understand this morning that all four of these gifts, these groups, these gifts are still active today in one sense. Now, two of these groups still no longer live among us. They no longer walk among us. But they regularly minister to us through the pages of the Word of God, namely the apostles and the prophets. In fact, think about this right now. Who is ministering to us right now in the book of Ephesians? What's his name? The apostle who? Paul, right? So the apostle Paul right now is ministering to us. And just back in May, we had a prophet that was ministering to us. His name was Haggai. Remember when we walked through the book of Haggai? So the apostles and the prophets are still ministering to us today. God used these folks to deliver to us the very word of God. And every time we open the Bible, we are setting under their ministry. And God saved their ministry. He preserved their ministry so that you and I would grow. So you should make full use given to you through the Bible. Dig into God's word. You know, I get asked a lot of times, Pastor, what is the biggest enemy that the church is facing right now? And we look around and we want to say Christian liberty, or we want to say, you know, the LGBT movement or cancel culture or whatever you might want to say. You probably have your own pet thing that you would say, this is the biggest enemy that the church is facing. But you know what my answer every time is? Apathy to the Word of God. In the church people are often apathetic to the Word of God. We ignore the Word of God. And I want to tell you this morning, Eastwood, if you want to be strong, if you want to grow, you take this thing up and you eat. You know what I'm talking about? You eat. This is what it takes to grow, and the apostles and the prophets feed you every time you open up the Word of God. Dig into it, and you'll grow. But the other two groups here that he mentions here in verse 11 are certainly living and active among us. They walk among us. They regularly minister to us. They are the evangelists and the pastor's teachers. Now, R. Kent Hughes, I like the way he thinks about these two groups. He calls them spiritual obstetricians and pediatricians. I like that. Right? Evangelists are the obstetricians of the church, gifted in bringing in new births. And then pastor teachers, they're pediatricians of the church, helping babies to grow into maturity. So let's look at these two separately just for a moment so that you understand what he's talking about here. Evangelists, they are men who are given to the work of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. They're men, strong evangelists today like Louis Palau, Greg Laurie, Ray Comfort. I mean, our own Don Mathis here at Eastwood. And then there are men of the past, like Billy Graham, or D.L. Moody, or George Whitfield, or in the Bible, think about Philip, who's called the evangelist. I would also include in this category all of our missionaries around the world, right? They are our evangelists who are on the front line of proclaiming the gospel around the world. So praise God for our evangelists. These men are especially gifted and passionate about plainly proclaiming the good news and seeing people come to Christ. And I thank God for these brothers and really do believe that we need to give more attention to this gift in the church. I really do believe that. We need to give more attention to this gift in the church. But the final gift that God talks about here is the gift of pastors/teachers. Now notice I combine these two into one category because of the Greek syntax here. It tells us that this group is one. It's not two. Both words share a single definite article, okay? You see, all pastors are to be able to teach, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, but not all pastors regularly teach. In other words, not all pastors have as their main ministry teaching. I think about even here at Eastwood, pastors like Greg Swack, or Ed Gent, or Dana Ellis, or even Pastor Will, sort of when he has on his worship leader hat, as opposed to his youth pastor hat. You know, I think about those brothers like that. They don't all teach all the time, but nevertheless, they play a very important pastoral role at Eastwood. Now, it's important for you to understand right here that the Greek word for pastor, poimen, literally means shepherd, as our ESV translation says. Okay, that brings that forth here. This office of pastor teacher elsewhere in the Bible is called elder, It's also called overseer, or if you have a particular translation, it'll translate the word overseer as bishop. But the pastor, elder, overseer, they're all the same office in the New Testament. And these are the men called by God to pastor the flock, to wisely lead the church, to oversee its ministries. And I wonder this morning, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I love preaching expositionally through a book of the Bible, because you might say, well, Ben just wants to talk about you should like your preacher. And you should like your preacher according to God's word. Have you ever thought about your pastors as a gift to you? I mean, honestly, have you ever thought about your pastors as a gift to you? They feed you, they lead you, protect you, care for you, encourage you. And Scripture says that you are to double honor them. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders, that's pastors, overseers, elders, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And Scripture also calls us and calls you as part of the local flock under pastoral care in Hebrews 13:17. To obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Beloved, your pastors are gifts to you. They're gifts to you. So are evangelists and prophets and apostles, and you have been called to grow, and God has given you gifts in these men to help you to grow. And I'm calling you this morning to make full use of them. Now, how do you do that? When you think about all of those, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers, what is the one common thread in all of those categories? It is the act of teaching. It's the act of proclaiming God's word. And so if you want to grow, if you want to make full use of these gifts to you, then you dig into the word under their teaching. That's how you do it. That's how you make full use of these gifts. You know, I always dreamed of being 6'8", 6'10". I mean, I wanted to be in the NBA, Trey. I wanted to dunk a basketball, okay? But God saw to it that I would only be 6'2". But here's the deal. I will never dunk a basketball. Never! I'll never grow to be that tall. But I can grow to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. And that's God's desire for you and for me. Here's my final prayer for us this morning. May we together reach the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve.
And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.